We have our brother Daniel Shiesta with us this evening again, and I believe we were all blessed last evening. I was tremendously ministered to in my spirit, and so I trust God has something for us here this evening again. So, brother Daniel, come on up, and before you come up, let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you for our dear brother Daniel. Lord, we lift him before your throne of grace once again. Father, we pray that you would impart your word deep into his heart tonight again, that we can be partakers of the life of Christ and partakers of your ways and your path, Lord. And Father, we pray tonight that you would bless and anoint this part of the service to your purposes in our lives. Lord, that we can see what your heart and desire for us is, Lord. So, Father, we commit our brother to you, and we thank you, Lord, for saving his soul, for bringing him out of darkness, even for this purpose this evening. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Well, wonderful to be back again, being my last talk with you. I really want to thank you so much for giving me this chance to be here and talk to you. And my particular thank you to Brother Emmanuel that he called me to be here with you. Tonight my talk is called Conversational Evangelism, which is the heart of our God, heart of the Bible. You remember that God, even in the Old Testament, calls people to come and converse with him. You remember Isaiah chapter 1, he says, oxen know their masters, donkeys know their masters, but my people do not know me. And then in verse 18 says, come and reason together. You bring your reason and I bring my reason for you. See, whose problem is this? This lecture, I'm not going to go through all of that because it's a 3 hours lecture, but I'll focus some of the places that will touch your heart and encourage you. For those of you who were not here last night, I spoke about my materials. This is the DVD of my testimony on the table there. I have run out my life story book, The House I Left Behind, but if anyone is interested, already there is a list there. If you order that, you'll get that in a few days' time. My second book, Islam and the Son of God, compares Islam with Christianity in all level. The word why is always there. So my books are practical books, complementary to my ministry, what I am doing. And that's the ministry I have through TV to Islamic world, and it's leading thousands of young Muslims to Christ. If I have time, I give you one or two examples of that. We need to know Islam because Islam has posed problem on every country in the world. Everywhere I go, I see Islam as a problem in that country. And also, Islam has become a big country, big problem for America. Committed Muslims are continuing to penetrate organizations in this country, and that's the way they have learned in 1400 years of Islamic experience, that if they penetrate, they will be able to establish Islam and Islamic law. I don't know how many of you know that they did that in England. England accepted Islamic law as part of the judiciary system in that country, and now Islamic courts have flourished everywhere in England. And here also, they have even penetrated White House. More than a dozen of Muslim Brotherhood, not committed Muslims. Muslim Brotherhood is the mother of terrorism in the world. But by the way, they introduced themselves peaceful Muslims in the Western countries. And White House has employed them. A few of them, actually, they are teaching in our security homeland. So they are teaching us what security is. So that's why we need to know Islam, because Americans do not know really what Islam is, and therefore they do not know how to decide what to do, especially in a Christian way. We need to know that. We need to know that not only Islam, all other religions. Tonight we'll hear you will hear from me that how important and vital it is for us to know the chapter of people's life in order to be influential over their lives. My third book, Christ Above All, is about conversation. It's about, you know, Christian simple apologetic and getting people into conversation. It's a very practical book. I have written that because of my ministry. I was a professor in one of the universities, dealt with many students and younger people. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I know what the needs of younger Christians in these countries and in Western countries are, and in all over the world. I have written that book. Sadly, in the universities, you cannot talk about Jesus. Even Christian students are keeping quiet there because there is a big pressure in the universities. If you speak about Jesus, you're in problem. But you can speak about everything in the university, but not about Christianity and about Jesus. You know, universities in America started by Christians. Christians started university in America, but now you do not speak about Christ in the university. And I tell you, universities now have become the dumbest places in the world. And I'm serious. They are good in their own branches, yes, science and other things, but in social relationship, political relationship, in ethical values, zero. That, why? Because everybody is right for them. Everybody is right? My goodness. You imagine everybody is right here. Imagine that. Wow. Maybe 1,000 law will rule here. So that's what you need to know, really. The essence of Bible, conversational evangelism, touch the heart of people. This book covers, as I mentioned last night, 8 beliefs and religions: Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, Zoroastrianism. Is the ancient Persian religion. People like Bertrand Russell criticized Christianity of borrowing from that religion. So I have put it there for people to understand that even the great scholars in these countries were ignorant, really. They just looked at the superficial things and deceived millions of people. We Christians need to really prepare ourselves to shake the world. And unfortunately, values of Christians are just hidden. We know maybe 20% of those values able to reveal them. The world doesn't know that. Amazing values. Christian values in everything is amazing. We need to reveal that. And that revelation requires you, especially younger people, listen to me, requires you to know Jesus in the context of the world. You need to know Christianity in comparison with all other religions and isms are in America. America is full of religions. And Americans are good in making religions too. Like restaurants. You know, just receive your restaurants. So you need to know that. And I tell you, if you know a little bit about other religions, you'll hug Jesus so firmly. You'll say, well, mine is the best. I know with reason, then you say. So that book is going to help you. I have got actually 3 conversation, exact conversation I had done with a communist leader, with a New Age follower, and with a Muslim imam. The Muslim imam is the leader of the church, like pastor. He actually initially, in one church, he was so angry at me, attacked me. And I challenged him. I said, give me 10 minutes, I talk to you, and then you do not like it, then you can beat me, you can attack me, whatever you like. So he gave me 10 minutes. That 10 minutes caught him. He was challenged in front of people. I told him, you need to write to me. in his letter he wrote to me, invited me back to Islam. That email conversation took 6 months. It's 50 pages in my book. And he gave his heart to the Lord. And his mosque people wanted to kill him. He escaped and lost a lot of things. So we need, you see, the conversation is the heart of Jesus, getting people into conversation. You need to be even able to get your enemy into conversation, like Jesus Christ. You remember? Enemies were coming to trap him, and he was trying really to get them into conversation. I was really amazed. For the first time I started to read the gospel. I was a Muslim. I believe Jesus was a man like all other Muslims. Shocking to hear that Jesus was God. But when I read the gospel, his manhood amazed me. I said, wow, he's so powerful in conversation. People are coming here, even he's catching his own enemies. You see, you need to learn from the hard places. Catching your enemy, when you are able to do that, then it's easy for you to lead all Americans to Christ. You remember somebody, you know, you remember one day somebody came and said, with whose authority you are speaking? He asked them a question. He said, if you answer me, then I'll continue talking to you. With whose authority John the Baptist was speaking? And they didn't answer. Because they were not interested in conversation. But Jesus was interested in conversation. He said, what's the benefit of just throwing a sentence to a person? It doesn't make any difference in their lives. You need to do that. People came to him with political questions. He turned that political question into a question of life. One day you remember that some people came to him and said, should we give tax to Caesar? Very dangerous question. You see, my lecture hasn't started yet. I'm giving you an introduction for to understand that's the heart of God. Should we give tax to Caesar? It's a very dangerous political question. You know why? Because one of his disciples was a zealot. He was fighting with a group, killing Roman soldiers, and even Jews who were cooperating with Romans. Simon then put his, you know, arrow and weapons away and became a follower of Jesus Christ. But Sadducees and Pharisees didn't know what does it mean really to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They thought that Jesus secretly was linked to that group who was fighting Roman Empire. This is a wonderful time to catch Jesus and destroy him. That's why they asked that question. Should we give tax to Caesar? What he did? He showed a coin to them. Whose image this coin is carrying? Where is that in the Bible for the first time you have heard the word image? Just in the first chapter of the Bible. Let us create people in our own image. Let us create them in our own image. It's a strong and powerful philosophical and doctrinal word. Whose image this coin is carrying? They said Caesar. Caesar has made that. Well, then that belongs to Caesar. Give Caesar to Caesar and then God's to God. You are carrying the image of God. That is carrying image of Caesar. You give yourself to God. Wow. A political question into a doctrinal, spiritual question. Question of life. So you and I need to be clever like it's Jesus. We need to touch the heart of even enemy. One day a church invited me, a Baptist church, and the elder took me to his house. He told me There is a Muslim leader, mosque leader. He always invites me to his mosque. I really want to build friendship with them, so I haven't been able to tell him no, because I was looking for an opportunity. You were coming here, I have arranged a meeting between you and him in my home. I said, okay. So in set time, I saw there were two Muslims coming to his house. But he had told me just one. You know, when you speak to Muslim, should be one and one, not one to two or more. Because they are afraid from each other. They are falsely obligated to defend their religion in front of each other. If they don't do that, they are putting their life in danger. I said said to the elder, look, this is not going to work. They will not be able, the guy will not be able to reveal his heart here today. He said, I know, he promised me one, just he's coming too. I said, well, we just leave it to the Lord. So they came, I started to talk to the guy he invited. Started just to give a few minutes of my testimony, life, a story. I thought maybe that raises question in his mind, and he asked me question. I just, was 1 minute or 2 minutes in my story telling the guy, the other one whom we were not expecting, a Pakistani man, said to his friend, I told you, don't go. This man is an American spy. Me. He's an American spy. Why are you talking to him? Now, you know that being American spy is a bad word in Islamic countries. Almost all Christians are called American spy. Those who are in prison now, persecuted, they are called American spy. That means no talk anymore. But really, I love to talk to them. That's an opportunity for me. I told him, wow, you don't want me to give my testimony at all. I know, I have come from that background, I understand that. But really, I love to talk to you. What should I talk about really with you? I said, how about we talk about being American spy? Suppose I'm an American spy for a few minutes, I accept that. That helps us to talk. Okay, I'm an American spy. You know what? Honestly, I don't want to become a spy. Can you help me, please? He immediately said, come back to Islam. That's your solution. I said, why? He said, didn't you know that Islam is the last and perfect religion? You see, you need to listen to them, catch them. Islam is the last and perfect religion. I said, you said Islam is the perfect religion? He said, yes. That's why you younger people, didn't know Islam and just left Islam, have come to a religion which is corrupt. I said, what do you mean by calling Islam the perfect religion? What do you mean? Could you please give me a definition for perfection? He didn't know what to say. I helped him to say something because I'm interested in conversation. I said, by calling Islam the perfect religion, you mean that it has answered every question of your life. Oh boy, he loved this definition. He said, yeah, Islam has answered every question of my life. Second question, I said, now are you saved, sir? Do you know about your future? He said, no, we don't know about that one. I said, sir, you just told me Islam is the perfect religion, has answered every question of your life, sir. But I am now understanding Islam hasn't been able to answer the central question of your life. How can you call that religion perfect, sir? Sir, Jesus has answered that to me. I am saved, sir. I am with God, sir. My mind and heart established on higher ground. I am with God. God is with me, sir. My relationship with hell is cancelled. No Satan anymore, sir. Sir, you're older than me. I respect you like my brother. Why are you trying to take me from my confidence into your uncertainty? Why are you doing that to me? Isn't that good, sir, to have confidence in God? He was a specialist looking at my face. I told him, can I ask you kindly, sit here quietly, I'm going to talk to this man. He sat there for 2.5 hours, didn't talk one word. I talked to the other one. The other one went home, sent an email to the elder. I said, I'm terribly sorry for bringing my elder with me. Can I see Daniel alone after this? You see, catching an enemy is so important. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. Or sometimes very gentle American and Western people, so gentle, atheist or socialist, they are so gentle, they speak gently to you and they destroy, you know, little by little, progressively, the root of Christian values in this country. But they are so gentle. How can you, you know, draw their attention? One day, well, I was traveling somewhere and somebody was sitting by me in a train. He was a gentleman, tall, very handsome, apparently educated man, wearing glasses. So we started to talk to each other. He asked me, where are you going early in the morning? I said, well, I am flying to another state for I'm booked there, talking in a church. Oh, you're a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian evangelist. He, in the middle of our conversation, he said, look, all are the same. We just see through different through our glasses. All are the same. We had to stop in another station, get out and get another train. So we both were waiting there. We were just waiting by a wall. I was looking at that wall. I said, what a beautiful tree. He said, what? I said, isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful tree. He said, that's wall. I said, no, my glasses says it's a tree. He said, you caught me. I said, yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes we borrow a sentence from our fathers, from our forefathers, from the community. We never think about that. What is that? And then we just repeat it. So, what does it mean? We are all seeing differently through our glasses, sir. No, sir. The things are different. We need to really know they are different. And by the way, it's a long story. He accepted to read the gospel and to see the values of Christ. Conversational evangelism is this. You need to listen to people, get words from them, and touch their hearts. This conversation, this evangelism should start with our God. You see, this is the center. Last night in my testimony told you that God in the Bible reveals himself, not in any other religions. Now, in Hinduism, a little bit different. Hinduism believes in millions of gods, but still the head God, the Brahman, he never reveals himself. He is an impersonal God. That's the funny philosophy, actually. Now, you ask, where are these millions of gods are coming from? Well, that impersonal God manifested himself in persons. That's a baseless philosophy. Impersonal cannot become personal. And personals cannot become impersonal. That doesn't match. So, in all religions I mentioned to you, gods do not reveal themselves. But in the Bible, God reveals himself. That's the center of your evangelism.
You have to always put at the center of your evangelism that God is with me. He has revealed Himself. Jesus told us, He said to us, don't go, wait when the Spirit comes to you, then go. That means God is the center of evangelism. If He is not with you, you will praise yourself. So, that God, and also you don't need to be any scholar. You can ask people, is it good God, if God is with you or not? Everybody says, yeah, it's good if God is with you. So you can say, God is with me. And I heard in this, you know, a few last days, some of you told me, well, I met a Muslim or the other person. I didn't know what to say really. I was a little bit scared to offend the person. Well, God is with you. You're just a tool. Even they smack you, doesn't matter because God is with you. They are smacking God. So that's the center. Now, you can look at it from every angle. Let me talk to you in a relational way. Is God the most beautiful one in the world or not? Okay, if He is the most beautiful one, who is able to introduce this most beautiful one other than He Himself? Did you get what I said to you? This is Daniel. Who is able to describe Daniel to you more than Daniel himself? I am the one can describe myself. My attitude, my words, everything shows my, you know, spiritual skeleton or physical skeleton to you. You didn't know me 3 days ago, but now you know who Daniel is because I am the revelation of myself. I can describe myself better than you. I promise that. God is able to describe Himself better than Moses, better than Abraham. That's why He didn't leave you orphan in the hands of Moses, Isaiah, and others. He said, I will reveal myself and sit on the throne of your heart, and I will be with you. You will be mine, and I will be yours together. Then we know each other. So, God must be the center in your evangelism. God is with me. This is the biggest difference between the Bible, the faith of Bible, and all other faith. Because in all other religions, God is not there. I'll show you references, a few references from Islam. So God is the evangelist, very evangelist for His own kingdom. He can describe His kingdom better than you and I. Therefore, for evangelism, He must reveal Himself. Should God reveal Himself for evangelism? Absolutely yes. Imagine you and I, evangelists, were not in the time of Adam and Eve. There was only Adam, Eve, and God. Who could be among those three an evangelist for God? Who could be there other than God? It was God who became an evangelist to Adam and Eve. So God is the center of evangelism. And the Bible says, the heaven declares the glory of God. The glory of God will be revealed and all mankind will see it. So God reveals Himself. So God's aim in creation is to put Himself on display. Bible's goal is to reveal God with all His plan to you. So that's the central evangelism. That doesn't exist in the Quran and in other religions' books. It's only in the Bible God reveals Himself, His glory. He is the very one to reveal His glory. You need to put at the center of your evangelism in order to convince a Muslim that Jesus is God. The revelation of Jesus is the revelation of God. It's so important.
You see, Islam says Muhammad didn't see God. His wife, his beloved wife, he had many wives, but this one he loved very much than others. That's the 6-year-old girl. She grew old and later. She said, whoever tells that Muhammad saw his Lord is a liar. Quran says Muhammad didn't see his God or God. There is a veil there. It's different. Moses saw God face to face, talked to him face to face. Muhammad didn't see that. So that's why Islamic doctrine is an impersonal doctrine. God does not reveal himself. They borrowed from Greek philosophy. God of the Bible reveals himself. That's the difference with all other gods. And last night I mentioned to you that impersonal God in reality doesn't exist. Because God creates. Creation requires touching, revelation. A few years ago, brothers from Answering Genesis, do you know Answering Genesis? Some Muslim scholars from Middle East called them, we need your help, we are challenged by communists. We need to respond to them about creation and God's philosophy. And they called me, how can we help them? I said, you cannot help them. Their God is impersonal, your God is personal. Personal God only can create. Personal God can reveal himself, in any shape he wants. But impersonal gods do not reveal themselves, and therefore they cannot create. Even though creation is in the Quran, has borrowed from the Bible, as Brother TJ said. But that's just a borrowing thing. It doesn't make sense if God does not reveal himself in the Quran. So it's a contradiction. We cannot help them, so they couldn't help. Even though they say, yeah, God created Adam and Eve. But it doesn't make sense. If God does not reveal himself, then he cannot create. He cannot express his love. He cannot express his righteousness. He cannot establish his justice in this world, because he needs to reveal himself. Revelation is for creation. God is the creator and the author of life. Could God create, touch, and talk without revealing himself? Absolutely not. He gave life to Adam and Eve through his personal touch. Creation does not happen without the revelation of God. Revelation is to fulfill his plan. He said, I will go before you and will level the mountains for you. The God of the Bible is the God of image. If he has image, he has a plan, and then he needs to implement his plan. He's an engineer. He's a manager. He has a plan for implementation. He needs to reveal himself. He is the boss. He reveals himself and then tells you and I what to do. Because he cannot hand over everything to us. Absolutely impossible. He did actually to Abraham, to Moses. Their lives were embarrassing in some areas. Even Abraham called his own wife his sister, and somebody grabbed from him. So God really must reveal himself. And revelation is to give purpose to life. God has created the humanity for a purpose, to give purpose to life. God's constant presence and supervision are necessary. How God supervises, give purpose? By his holiness, justice and love. That's the measure. So God's revelation is a must. He must reveal himself. You see, when you talk to a Muslim, that's the area they are challenged. So if your God does not reveal himself, then his plan cannot be established. Why? Because everybody is sinner. Even Quran says that.
Sir, if everybody is sinner and everybody in Islam is not saved, if you are not saved, that means you are in the kingdom of Satan. How can you, in the kingdom of Satan, establish the kingdom of God? Doesn't make sense. You have to be saved, and that salvation means God has revealed Himself, has taken you from the hand of Satan, and said to Satan, this is mine, you do not have any right to come closer to Him. That's the time you can, with His presence, establish this, His plan here. So, revelation is must. Revelation is to make God's Word relevant to us. You know, it's our revelation makes us relevant to one another. That's the same for God. If He does not reveal Himself, that means He is not relevant to us. When other gods call their followers, you do your own job, maybe you'll be saved. That means I am irrelevant to your life. But God in the Bible is relevant. He says, no, you cannot save yourself. How can you save yourself from the authority of Satan? Satan is not interested in salvation. You cannot tell Satan, hey, we lived with each other for 20 years. Honestly, I just want to leave now. Satan says, you're kidding me? I don't believe in freedom. You cannot be saved. Only God can save you. When He comes, Satan runs away. Because He is the superpower one. He can save you. So, God is the relevant God. Other gods are irrelevant. Who can save me from the claws of Satan other than God? Nobody. I give you an example. One day I was speaking in a seminar. Because you're not nodding your head, I'm concerning that you're not understanding me or not. I don't want you to nod your head falsely. One day in a seminar, there was also a couple from a traditional church. They believe just like Muslims. My good deeds, you know, may save me. Even though they have Bible, carrying Bible, but salvation is based on their good job. In the question time, he asked me, what about our good job? So you're saying they are nothing? I said, no, they are good for social relationship, but they are not going to save you. I asked him, do you have any children? He said, yes, this is my wife, we have children. I said, suppose one of your children has run away, escaped from the house. I didn't know that happened to him. Oh my goodness, that was an amazing, amazing time. His son, under 80, has run away and they were weeping. They were not able to find him, asking many people for help. Gone. And while I was speaking, he was crying. I apologized to him. I'm sorry I didn't know that, but God is going to help you maybe to understand here. I said, sir, imagine after 6 months, you do not have any response, given hope, sitting in your house, somebody comes and knocks your door. You open the door, sir, you see your son. What will you do? He started to more cry. And then said, I'll jump out and hug him and bring him in. I said, why are you doing that? According to your belief, sir, you have to say to your son, just wait there, son. I have to measure your good deeds and bad deeds. If your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then I'll get you in. He said, no, I'll not do that. I said, why are you expecting God to do that to you, sir? Are you more loving than God? Sir, God doesn't want your work. God wants your heart. God wants your presence, sir. I told him my story. I said, sir, I haven't seen my mom for 25 years. Sir, for 25 years, she has cried from other end. I have cried from this end.
We want to see each other desperately. We haven't been able. One day my mom was crying so much. She passed away a few months ago. She wanted really to see me. It's amazing. Moms and dads are always mom, no matter even you're 80. I was crying. I really wanted to help her. I told her, "Mom, you should not give yourself hard time, Mom. I'm a good boy now. Mom, I do not give hard time to my wife. I do not curse people. I do not smoke. And all other things, Mom, you have seen from me, I have just given all of them up. I'm a good boy. You have to be happy, Mom." In response, she told me, "Son, what are you talking about? I don't care about that, son. As your mother, I just want to see you and die. That's my heart, Mom, son." I said, "Mom, you're talking to me like my God. It is amazing. Sometimes unbelievers talk to you like your God. Just God wants to teach you. Mom, you're talking like my God to me, Mom. My God said that to me. I don't need your work. I need you. You have to be here with me. That only convinces my heart. I want you home. What are you talking about? Good job. Good deeds. You will not be able to do good deeds unless you're with me. You need to change your citizenship, son. You need to come out from the kingdom of Satan into my kingdom of good things and good fruits and do good deeds." So, that's God. Reveals Himself to take us, to save us, to make Himself relevant to us. That's why Jesus, as His personal Word, revealed Him to make His words relevant to us. So this introduction, conclusion says the God of the Bible is the revealing God, but Allah is not. Now, I told you this is going to take 3 hours, but I'm going to stay here. Just mention some of them to you, bless you tonight, and ask God bless all of our hearts, and with power and courage, go and live for Him. I'm sure that you're living, but be more interested in living for Him. When God reveals Himself, you can say, "God is with me." When God does not reveal Himself, if you say God is with me, that's false. If you talk to Muslims, Hindus and Buddhists, they say actually to you, "God is with me," unlike their religious book. God only can be with you when He is revealing God. So you can say, "God is with me." If God is with you, you can know Him. So I'm going to just mention some of them, not all of them. It takes longer. You, only the followers of Jesus Christ, can say, "God is with me." Others cannot say that. That doesn't mean they do not have any interest in God. They are interested. Some Muslims are ready to die for Allah. So they are interested in God. But that doesn't mean that God is with them, even though they say that. You have access to God they do not have. I'm going to give you an example to understand this. One day, two Mormon girls knocked the door of my friend. I was in his house. He didn't know English. I was helping him. So I opened the door, saw two young girls. What is that? Later they sense something. That's it. So we talked a little bit. One of those girls got angry at me that we Christians do not listen to them. I said, "No, I'm a good listener. I was listening to you. I am talking some things that you are not able to understand what I'm saying. That's why I need to give you an example." So in that conversation, I asked her, "Do you believe that God is everywhere?" She said, "Yes." I said, what about Joseph Smith? That's their prophet. You see everywhere? She didn't know what to say. I helped her to say something. I said, okay, we just imagine Joseph Smith is here too. God is here and Joseph Smith is here. Now, which one is creator, which one is creature? She said, she's smiling. She knows that's a simple question. She said, yeah, God is creator. Joseph Smith is creature. I said, that's my problem. God is here. Joseph Smith is here. He is very close to us. I want to talk to him. You're saying to me, no, 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 don't talk to God. Just talk to Joseph Smith. Why? I don't need Joseph Smith anymore. I am thirsty. There is a glass of water here. I want to take it and drink it. You're saying that, no, no, don't do that directly. Bring it into your mouth here. Just take it and drink it like this. That's going to hurt me. That's not a direct way. When God is everywhere, I don't need Joseph Smith. I don't need Moses. I don't need Abraham. Curse to those who put their trust in man. God is everywhere. I have God. God is with me. The mighty creator of universe is sitting on the throne of my heart. Joseph Smith is a poor man just like me. He needs to humble himself in the presence of God rather than lifting himself up. He's here. I have him. You need to have him too. It's speechless. I told her that I give you one solution. Don't only read Mormon books. Read other books too. I'm talking to you too. This book, last night I told you, this is the Quran on my head. You know why? Because I know other religions. When I didn't know them, I didn't know the superiority of this that much. But when you know, you understand how baseless they are. This is the problem in America. People do not know the values of this. They only know theirs, but even do not know this. But even they do not know their own. Imagine. I was amazed even by university scholars, co-workers, calling themselves atheists. Honestly, they didn't know what atheism was. So, we need to know that God, only the God of the Bible, reveals Himself and you can have Him. When God is with you, that's the solution for everything and also for your mission. Now, if God is not with you, can you know God? Absolutely not. That's the reason in all other religions God is unknowing. Last night I mentioned to you. Even in Greek philosophy, God is unknowing. You remember Acts chapter 17? Paul was walking in the streets of Athena. He saw a sign there. To unknowable God or to unknowing God. That's a Greek philosophy. God is unknown. Why? Because He doesn't reveal Himself. We don't know Him. But your God in the Bible reveals Himself and you know Him. That's why Jesus said in John, Father, Father, they know with confidence that I am from you. Knowing is so important in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament. Know the truth, that the truth will set you free. Knowing is only the instruction in this book
God says, I am not interested in blind obedience. I want those, my followers, who know me. Now, if a Muslim doesn't know God, how can he speak about God to you? When they come to your house and knock the door, or they're your friend, they want to talk about Islam and God to you, very gently, in a loving way, say, look, I know that you're interested in God, but according to your doctrine, Islamic doctrine and the Quran, you cannot talk about God to me. That has happened so many times to me, and honestly, I'm saying to you, they've been amazed, puzzled, shocked that they had never thought about that. One Iranian professor, he was the professor, a professor of philosophy. He cried like a baby in front of me. He said, that's embarrassing. I never thought about that. I never thought about that. If you do not know God, you cannot talk about it. One day, two Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house. They always come, but I was at home. I opened the door. Two younger than me, men. One of them said to me, sir, we speak about God. Are you interested? I said, I'm so much interested. But I have to test you first to see whether or not you can talk about God. He said, oh, you want to test us? I said, I have no choice but to do that. He said, all right, test us. I asked him a simple question. I said, are you saved? He said, no. What about your friend? He looked at his friend and said, I don't think so. I said, well, this is going to make our conversation harder. I'll ask you some question. You will not be able to respond because you're not saved. I think you can help me. Could you please go to your temple and send the person to me who is saved? I'm really interested in talking to that person. He paused a little bit. He said, as far as I know, I don't know anyone saved in my temple. I said, well, sir, you cannot talk about God to me. That doesn't mean you're not interested in God. So you have to be positive to them because they have some positive aspect in their lives. God has created them in His own image. They are capable to understand you, to understand the Bible. That's why I'm talking. You cannot really degrade people and converse with them. You see, a radical Muslim, a horrible man came to faith in Christ. Why? Because he was created in the image of God. Sir, I know you're interested in God. Your action shows me, every day you're knocking tens of doors, that shows me you're interested in God. But you cannot talk about God because you're not saved, sir. Salvation means you believe in the revelation of God. God has revealed Himself because they don't believe Jesus is God. Now God reveals Himself to you, sir. In John chapter 1 says, to show His full glory and truth to you. You see His full glory, sir. His full truth and justice. You're amazed, sir. You say, wow, I have to open the door of my heart and I need to ask Him to come in. When He comes in, sir, Satan rushes out. Why? Because they don't like each other. They cannot live with each other in one place. One comes, the other one goes. Now God is sitting in the throne of your heart. Sir, closer than everybody else to you. And now you know Him. You know Him, then you can talk about Him to me, sir. Everybody knows this, sir. Even children should know this. Would you like me to call my younger daughter to come? And we ask this question from her, sir. Answer will be the same. She was 14 in that time. But she has read my book, Christ Above All. Sir, the response will be the same. She was speechless looking at my face. I said, come in. We are going to have a wonderful conversation with each other. Immediately looked at his watch. She said, oh, we better go. We have got to do something. Very gently, I caught his hand. Not an American way.
maybe middle some way, very gently. I said, please come in. Please come in. I'm not going to, you know, push you and to accept Christ as your Savior. No, I'm not going to do that. We are going to converse with each other. And he withdrew and went. That's the same for all other religions. Muslims, do you know God? Their scholars, they speak very elegantly. Sir, just stand there, sir. You speak very elegantly. Can I ask you a simple question, sir? Are you saved, sir? They will be so disappointed because they are not. Their prophet actually died in uncertainty. He said, I don't know about my future. Quran chapter 31, 34. Quran chapter 46, 9. You don't know about your future. Sir, if you are not united with God, you do not know about your future, can you speak about my future to me? Absolutely not. This has happened with a Shinto evangelist. A Shinto evangelist one day was in a friend's house. I was there actually. And somebody knocked his door. He went and opened the door. He said, I'm from Shinto church. I speak about future. And he called me, Daniel, someone is here for you. Would you like me to bring in? I said, yeah, bring him. He came and I asked the same question in a similar way. I said, what do you speak about? He said, we speak about about future. I said, asked him, do you know about your own future? He said, no. You see? He doesn't know about his future. He wants to talk about my future to me. He was a Shinto evangelist. Isn't that embarrassing? You're an evangelist. You don't know about your future. I didn't say that to him. I'm telling you. It's embarrassing. You're talking about, you want to talk about people's future, but you don't know about your own future. Something wrong is here. And he exactly used the same, similar excuse. Oh, my English is not good, I better go. I said, absolutely, it's just my English. My English is not good too. We can understand each other. But he went. You need to know God. You see, when you make friend, sit with them, gently say to them, look, this is a logical thing. If you don't know a person, you cannot talk about that person. It is the same for God. If you do not know God, you cannot talk. In Quran, several times Muhammad says, if I knew my God, Satan wouldn't destroy, you know, some part of my life. He himself is confessing, I don't know God. Sir, if you do not know God, you are pushing people to follow you. Why? Why you are slaughtering these infidels, calling them even infidels? Why? You yourself are infidel because you are not saved. Why you're not able to see the victory in your own eyes? You just see the specks in the eyes of other people. You don't know God. Please keep quiet. Where is this Quran coming from? If you don't know God, then where is your holy Quran coming from? Aha! It speaks volumes to me now. Did you write it yourself? The answer is yes. But they don't say it to you. But you can convince many Muslims. That's why thousands of younger Muslims, boys and girls, when they hear me in the TV, they just touch, they come to the Lord. They see there's something wrong with their religion. You need to know. I already spoke about salvation. The joy of salvation. It's a huge talk, you know, that God is with you. It's an amazing thing, really. That's not a small thing. The mighty creator of universe is with you. Imagine a politician comes and shakes hands with you. You want to take a picture with him. Can I take a photo with you? The mighty creator of universe, the one who is above everybody, is with you. You're saved. That's a great thing. They do not have it, but you have it. I'm saved. I'm in the hands of God. If God is with me, who is against me?
We are reconciled to God, but they are not. You see, the word Muslim is a very meaningful word. Muslim means submitted to God in Arabic. Islam means submission. But they are using this elegant word doesn't make sense in Islam, in Islamic doctrine. In other words, Muslims say, we are only submitted to God. Christians and others cannot. That's a wrong word in a wrong place. That nice word is in a wrong place. If God does not reveal Himself, how can you submit yourself to Him? Only personal beings can submit to one another. How can you be submitted? Therefore, the word Islam even doesn't match Islamic philosophy and doctrine. And that's what, you know, people choose beautiful words, but doesn't match their characteristics and their philosophy and doctrine. We are reconciled to God. The source of peace, if you're reconciled to God, you have peace with everybody. You see, they are calling Islam a peaceful religion. Forget about this bloodshed in Islamic world and in terrorism. Forget about that. Just doctrinally think about that. If you are not reconciled with your Creator, can you be a peaceful person? Because Jesus says there are two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of God. Another one is the kingdom of Satan. If you're not saved, you are in the kingdom of Satan, can you be reconciled to God? Absolutely not. Can you be reconciled to people? Absolutely not, because the prince of this kingdom doesn't believe in peace. His job is only to destroy people and, you know, encourage people, provoke them to destroy each other. So reconciliation doesn't make sense in any other religion. You cannot call Islam. Islam cannot be called doctrinally a peaceful religion. Philosophically even. But when you come to relational, you know, to the relationship, their relationship with others, you see bloodshed is everywhere. Why? Because the root problem is at the root. If you're not reconciled to God, you cannot be reconciled to other people. Don't call yourself peaceful. When God reveals Himself, He can establish justice in this world. You see, I'm amazed by the words of the Bible and Gospel. Everything is matching. This is my servant, Matthew chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 42. This is my servant on whom is my spirit. To do what? To take justice to victory. And then, after that, nations will put their trust in Him. That's an amazing doctrine. Jesus, He said, carrying my spirit to do what? To take justice to victory, to destroy the work of Satan in this world, to establish justice here. Then, that's an amazing doctrine too. Then people, nations, will put their trust in Him. Now, if a person is not able to take justice to victory, if no one is able to destroy the work of Satan in this world, if Muhammad is not able to destroy the work of Satan, if Moses is not, Abraham is not, Isaiah is not, why should I put my trust in them? I want to put my trust in the one who crushes the head of Satan. And that's God only. Jesus, the revelation of God. He said the reason the Son of God revealed Himself to establish justice in this world, to destroy the work of Satan. So, to whom, in whom you want to put your trust? The one who hasn't established justice here, or the one who has established justice? That's a simple answer. You can enter in a different way. You say, if God is the ultimate authority in justice, isn't He? He is the ultimate authority in justice. If He is the ultimate authority in justice, and if Satan is the ultimate authority in injustice, who is able to establish the justice of God in this world? God Himself. So He reveals and just establishes justice in this world. So you and I are established in justice. We can talk about justice. We are reconciled. We can talk about peace. We can make peace among people. But no, not those people who do not know what peace is. One example is just the Palestine and Israel. For 6 decades, their leaders have been trying to establish peace there, but year after year it's getting more worse. Why? Because Jesus is not there. They are not carrying Jesus with them. They do not have peace. They don't know what peace is. And it is becoming, you know, they're ruining their relationship more. Only Jesus can create peace there. Justice there. And when Jesus is there, and I promise you, Jews and Palestinians will hug each other and cry and apologize and say, "Oh, brother, forgive me. I didn't know Jesus. I gave you a hard time." He reveals Himself to establish justice. So I can talk about justice. You read the Quran, always says Muslim Islam is to establish justice in this world. You're kidding me? I'm going to finish with this. That's actually the first step in evangelism. Last night, whatever you heard from me, and today, if you do not have this, you're wasting your time. God revealed Himself to us to give heavenly identity to us. Philosophically speaking, to take us to our original state, the time He created us for Himself, to enjoy life with us and us with Him, to put us on our route. Doctrinally speaking, to take us to heaven, to establish our mind and heart there. Or as Paul says, to give us heavenly citizenship, the heavenly excellence and nobility. That's the first step in evangelism. I told you, revelation of God is the central thing in your evangelism, but your heavenly identity is the first thing, first identity for you. If you do not have it, it's going to be difficult for you. You have to be able to say, "I am a prince of heaven. I am a princess of heaven." And that's what the heart of God is. "You're mine. You're the apple of my eyes," He says. You have to believe that. You have to believe that the power of God with His might is in you. You have overcome everything. Paul says we are more than conquerors. Nothing in this world, death, life, angels, future, presence can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Because we are winners. We are victorious, more than conquerors. We have conquered Satan. That's our identity. It breaks my heart so many times. People will say to me, "Brother Daniel, you have to be careful. I don't want really to, you know, to, how can I say that? My English, I'm sorry for that. Don't want really to attack your emotion. I'm talking about myself. I don't want to cover myself. I don't. I'm a light, a candle of Jesus Christ. If you put cover on it, it extinguishes." That's a simple test, physical test. And as He said, the light is put
on a higher place to give life to the surrounding. That's my identity. That's my heavenly identity. How can I deny that? God is with me. That's my identity. I belong to heaven. My home is there. My country is there. I love my country so much. I love that country more than America, more than Iran. That's my country. My citizenship belongs there. That's my identity that makes me an evangelist for Christ. I'll give you an example and finish with that. A few years ago, I was speaking in a conference in Germany. 450 ex-Muslims conference. Many of them leaders from all over the world. I was one of the speakers. 5 days. In daytime, the speakers were speaking. Nighttime, prayer leaders were praying. Sometimes they took, you know, prayer took them to the middle of the night. In the fourth day, an Iranian young Christian lady, and she was young too, came to me and told me, "Brother Daniel, can I talk to you? I'm in pain, really. Emotional pain." I said, "Of course you can talk to me." I was really tired. I said, "Can you wait for tomorrow? Otherwise we can talk now." She said, "Yeah, wait." I waited for weeks and days. I can wait. So the day after, in lunch time, we got our lunch and went, sat in a corner. All people are eating. We are eating in a corner. I asked her, "What is your pain?" Because she told me she was going to prayer. People were praying for him for 4 nights. And she was still the same, and she couldn't receive the response. I asked her, "What's your pain?" She said, "I'm short." She was a short, young Iranian lady with a high heel shoes. "So you're short, that's your pain?" She said, "Yes." Immediately in my heart I cried to the Lord, "I need your help. Lord, I really wanted to help her, but that was a silly thing for me. But you cannot just pass this silly question simply. Sometimes silly things cost the life of people. Lord, I need your help." "Oh, you're short. That's a pain to you?" She said, "Yeah." "What kind of pain is that to you?" She said, "Nobody loves me." She was short, really. My mom was short. But boy, I never thought she was short and she couldn't be my mom. "What kind of pain is that? You say nobody loves you?" "Yeah." "I really want to help you," I told her, "but give me an example, really. Maybe I can help you." She said, "My husband found the taller girls and they fell in love with each other. They went with each other and we got divorced." I said, "That's really painful. But still, I don't know. I'm crying to the Lord in my heart. I praise His name. He helped me. That I'm using this here to bless you tonight. Especially those who are short." I asked her another question. I said, "Do you have any children as a result of this marriage? She said, "Yes, we have a daughter." The next question, "Is she short like you?" She said, "Yes." "Really? Is she short like you?" She said, "Yes. Yes, Brother Daniel." I said, "Oh my goodness. That's not good. She's short like you?" "Yes, Brother Daniel." I said, "Wow." She said, "What's wrong, Brother Daniel?" I said, "That's a big problem. You're short and she's short. You have made your life to some extent, but this poor girl is going to start from the beginning to be painful till the end because she's short and nobody will love her." She said, "No, I love my daughter." I said, "You're kidding me? Really? You love your short daughter? Unbelievable." How can you do that? You're making fun of me, Brother Daniel. I said, of course I'm making fun of you. Of course I'm making fun of you. You're breaking my heart. You say you love your daughter, and then there is no one to love you. How can it be? Are you a Christian? Yes. When did you come to the Lord? 2 months ago. I said, that's the problem. Your problem is not with prayer. Your problem is not solved here. It's here. You don't know who you are in the kingdom of Jesus. When Jesus comes to you, He never introduces you to people and saying to them, people, this is my short follower. You see, that one is the taller follower. You see that one big one, the skinny one. You see that Chinese one, that black man, that white one, that Iranian, this American. He never says that. He says, you're my princess. I knew you were short. I gave my life for you. You're now a princess, crowned by Heavenly Father. He loves you so much. While I was talking to her, I saw she was crying. And little by little, I heard something from her, praising the Lord Jesus, touching my heart. Glory to you that you helped me. I helped her. After we finished, the first thing she did, took high heel shoes off. For a reason. She drew the attention of all 450 on the table. She's crying, shouting with joy, and apologizing them. I'm just excited. I'm just excited. That's why I'm crying. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm a princess now. I'm a princess now. That's you and I. My dear brothers and sisters, I praise His name. I really praise His name that He has crowned me. He has brought me from that darkness, crowned me. And I can touch the heart of people. I'm not lifting myself up. I am what I am. I know. This is the first step for us in evangelism. Really, you need to love Him so much. So much. Say, Lord, You're the number one. That's a bit difficult in America to say that. Young boys and girls fall in love with each other. It's a strange word for them. But that's not selfish to love Jesus more than everybody else in your life. You know why? Because if you do not throw yourself into His ocean, you'll not be able to love others. So, your identity is this. If you haven't changed your mind, tonight you have to do that. Tonight, change your mind. Lord, I am 100% Yours. Lord, no matter who I am short, tall, I am young, old, I am Yours, Lord, and I am for You living in this world. And I want to glorify Your name here in America and among all nations in the world. That's what evangelism is. And I can talk to you for 10 days about this. I speak in colleges for 1 week. But I encourage you, that this is the first step for you in evangelism. If you really follow that, the Lord is going to come into your life in a mighty way and use you in a mighty way. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.